You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast. I am Billy Embody. With me is Shea Dixon. The Tigers might be back on the practice field, but man, the dead period is not only over for spring practices, it's over for recruits as well. And the Tigers are shaping up to have a massive weekend. Starting Friday, Shea, we've covered recruiting together for a while now, too long. We don't need to bore people with that. But what we will share with them is some of the names that will be in town. And this is probably, as far as spring weekends go, one of the most loaded weekends I've seen since I've been covering the Tigers.
That is a mouthful then, Billy, because there have been some big recruiting weekends, most recently Bayou Splash, which was...
Hey, spring weekends. Threat. I said spring.
Oh, spring. Okay, fair enough. Yes, it will be absolutely loaded. So if you haven't been to the Bengal Tiger, Billy posted on Monday the entire list that we've gotten so far. We'll continue to update it all week. If you're not a member, it's only $1 to join. That'll carry you pretty much through spring ball and all these recruiting visits. But yes, it is very impressive. I mean, they've got not only the majority of their 9 commits coming in, but DeCorian Moore, you know, you've got the headline guys, Harlan Berry. I'm looking at all these uncommitted guys that are coming in. And I know people talk about James Simon, their top target in Louisiana, as kind of the one uncommitted guy in the top 10 thereafter that they want to lock up. He'll be there. But you jump into the states of Florida, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, and top to bottom, it's kind of, Billy, a who's who of the guys they've been really recruiting. Like, almost this entire list is guys in January. The coaches got on the road, went and saw, did in person, you know, you could have in person contact in January. So they did school visits and all of that. And now immediately out of the dead period, all of these top targets are coming into LSU. There's not many names on this list that aren't on their very kind of condensed board now of guys they're going after. And when you're the number one class, Billy, you start and you have 9 commits, you're inching closer to double digit commitments. You can be very picky. You're going to take the best of the best. The guys who aren't on this list are coming the following weekend, later in March, for the spring game, whatever it might be. So I feel like these next couple of months have a chance for LSU to capitalize on being number one, come out of the dead period, and kind of knock down some more dominoes in terms of guys committing to the Tigers and kind of keeping Ohio State at bay, as those two, LSU and Ohio State, are off to an incredible start to this 2025 cycle.
And I think, obviously, LSU is off to an incredible start just overall. Like you said, they've got Bryce Underwood, the number one quarterback and prospect. They've got DeCorian Moore, number one wide receiver. They've got Harlan Berry, number one wide receiver. They are after multiple number one prospects at their positions. I think for me, when I look up at this weekend, I see James Simon, 4-star running back, huge target. But can we talk about the talent at receiver that's coming in this weekend? I mean, you look at it, Caleb Cunningham, a 5-star, Cortez Mills, who just put on an absolute show at Under Armour Miami, Jamie French, another elite wide receiver, Nayshon Montgomery, you know, there are other positions that also have stacked talent and will not ruin the list, but I look at that wide receiver group. And by the way, the number one wide receiver in 2026, Aaron Gregory, a top 10 prospect, just confirmed with us he was coming this weekend as well. So they're continuing to just make, I mean, incredible moves in this 2025 class and just doing a good job recruiting it as well. And I think Cortez Mills is somebody that LSU is obviously trying to make a move for. He's got who's who after him, and so do a lot of these guys. But he was just one that over the weekend just shined and earned the On3 MVP honors at Under Armour Miami.
Yeah, Billy, when I look at this list, kind of thing that stands out to me is, one, and you mentioned it, I was wondering if you were going to throw Aaron Gregory in there at the end. You have, like, pretty much what, half of the top 10, a number of the top 10 receivers for this year's class coming this weekend. But you've got the number one receiver, DeCorian Moore, already committed. And now you're getting on campus at the same time, the number one receiver for next year. The rich get richer on offense, and that's what happens when guys like Bryce Underwood and Barry and Moore and all those guys get on early for you. I'll flip it to the other side of the ball. I'm very intrigued by the linebacker group coming in this weekend, and I say that twofold. One, it's talented. It's a deep group, yes, and I'll get to that in a second. But Blake Baker is your first-year DC. This is their first big recruiting event, as you noted. They had a junior day in late January, but he's getting a lot of his out-of-state linebacker targets in, so this is a chance for me to see, and we know Baker is an elite recruiter, but he'll have time to spend with these guys while also them seeing him practice on Friday. They'll go through film stuff on Saturday. So they'll get immersed in what Baker is as both a recruiter and coach. But you go down that list of linebackers, one of the top linebackers in America, and Jacoby Hobson will be here, but Tavion Wallace, Elijah Melendez, Elijah Barnes, Charles Ross, Luke Metz, all these guys I'm mentioning have offers and have had recent offers and are being pursued by Baker. Probably half the list he had offered and was heavily on at Missouri. So it, for me, it's an intriguing weekend. I bet I'll put a greater than 50% chance on it. We look back at this weekend and at least one of these linebackers signs with LSU. I mean, because he's only handed out like 8 or 9 offers. 5 of them are these guys and they're all coming the same weekend.
Yeah. I really like this group he's brought in, and I think Tavion Wallace might be one of my favorite prospects in the class, just regardless of if he ends up with LSU or not. He comes from great lineage. You know, his brother is Trevin Wallace, who played at Kentucky and was a really good player for the Wildcats. And he's a top 50 prospect nationally. I mean, there's a lot to like there. But one guy who just made a big move up into the On 300, clocking a sub 11 100 meter dash, is Charles Ross out of the Houston area, North Shore. And that is a program that Blake Baker would love to get into. He's from the Houston area. He has ties to that area and has recruited Charles Ross for a bit now. And he went and saw him last month. And you know what? They made the move and offered shortly after he went and visited him. And then he goes out and runs a 10.6, 10.7 in the 100 meter. And all of a sudden schools all over the place are, you know, throwing offers in. We just had the On 300 updated for the 2025 class. And he made a move into that in part because, you know, he's got that verified speed on the track and field now. But I really like Charles Ross. If you're, you know, looking at this linebacker group, it wouldn't shock me if Charles Ross ended up as one of LSU's linebacker commits, and they already have, you know, Keelan Moses on board.
And LSU might have been his first SEC offer, right?
I think so. So
they were on him before he is currently blowing up, is my point. So maybe Baker getting in early there and being a Houston native could pay off, obviously. So, yeah, I like the linebacker group, and tossing Charles Ross in there, I think, is a nice addition for the weekend. And that's what you want to do. If a guy's blowing up, get him to campus right now before everybody else does. Go ahead and set the stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, Bo Davis and Brad Davis both are also having big weekends, a lot of top targets for them. I mean, we look at, you know, multiple 4-stars coming to campus for Bo Davis, multiple elite offensive line prospects going to be back in Baton Rouge. So both of those guys are obviously, you know, needing to have big weekends to kind of lay that foundation for some of those targets. And I'll add that both coaches have guys that are maybe starting to trend a little bit for LSU, and they're certainly in the mix for, but they could make a big move to kick off what is, you know, a 2-month span of guys being able to visit college campuses. Some of these guys might very well end up coming back for the spring game. I know one of the offensive linemen is already. So the LSU has done well. And since Brian Kelly's been here, we've seen guys visit in January and they've had some good weekends, but where they've really laid the foundations down are the early spring visits, you know, during spring ball. And then they've always managed to make a splash, of course, for their spring game weekend. But in particular, these weekends in March, the early ones are the ones where they've really stepped up.
There's no doubt about it. And we'll talk about it a little bit more in a bit when we kind of preview what's ahead. But you look back, what, DeShawn McBride, maybe Joel Rogers. I'd have to look back at the list, but they had three or four commits around this time last year because they were just getting guys in. They're maybe making new offers in Louisiana, which we could see happen. So this is a this will be a fun stretch here. And I will note, Friday is practice. So a lot of guys are coming in early and will be at practice. And then on Saturday will be junior day, and that will be the really big event. They're not practicing that day, so all the focus will be on recruiting. So it's almost like a 48-hour thing that's going on this weekend. Not Saturday, Sunday, but Friday, Saturday.
Speaking of 48 hours, LSU, and we'll break away from some of the junior day stuff here for a second, they will get one of their top defensive line targets on campus for an official visit this summer. Under Armour Miami, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, had just hit this weekend, and one of the guys that got mentioned among the top performers was Wilnerson Telemake, who is out of Monsignor Pace, which somebody made a great point on the Bengal Tiger message board. Is there more poetic kind of, you know, combination of school and prospect name than Wilnerson Telemake from Monsignor Pace in the Miami area? That's pretty strong.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I like it. And he's starting to blow up a little bit too. I mean, there's probably a list, and you did a story on this already. You dove into Bo Davis and kind of who become the priority targets and who could be some surprise guys to watch. And you'd written that on the Bengal Tiger this past week, but he was a guy that was on the list. And what you'd count maybe 15 guys, 10 to 15 guys that Bo Davis has offered or reoffered or kind of kicked the tires on to see where they're at after going to see him in January and then making offers into February. So while it's not this weekend, I think Bo Davis is going to have a lot of guys that come through during the spring practices, which would run from March until kind of mid-April. I would expect that he has a lot of guys that come through from out of state there, because I do think this D-line class, Billy, Corey Adams, for instance, and Ed Nakari, he's got an offer. He's the only Louisiana D-lineman right now out there uncommitted who's got an offer. So they're going to have to go out of state. Usually it's Texas. Like, I could see him signing a guy or two out of Texas, especially with Bo Davis coming from Austin and after a long stint with the Longhorns. But can they get into Florida, or do they get into Florida? I think between Florida, Georgia, Bama, you're going to see them sign at least one, if not two, guys out of that area.
Yeah, Mississippi as well. They're swinging for sure. Guys there. But Wilnerson will be on campus June 14th through the 16th, so he'll get his 48-hour little bit of run there. He's also got West Virginia and Minnesota scheduled. He's been to Florida. He's got a bunch of schools, like we mentioned, that are lining up.
I was waiting for the 48 hours tie-in segue there. You saved it for the end. I thought it was going to be about the show, 48 hours. I thought this was going to be like some connection.
I mean, you know, LSU's killing it in recruiting. Yeah.
There you go. Just stop.
Yep. Dad jokes already creeping in. Get ready.
Oh, goodness. And we're not even there yet. but yes, I do think it, maybe not the heaviest D-line weekend this weekend, but I think Bo Davis kind of stretches it across 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, this is a critical time for Bo Davis and this entire coaching staff, you know, getting these opportunities in front of these prospects during spring ball. And that it's also the perfect time for you guys to make some critical decisions when it comes to financial future. And one way to help yourself through that is with My Perfect Franchise. You can reach out to our friend, Andy Ludicky. He can help you through the franchising process. And he is all about helping people find the right fit for you, whether you're looking to build wealth, diversify, leave a legacy for your children or your spouse or whatever. And it's also a great opportunity to leave the corporate rat race. And that's what Andy has really honed in on, I think, when we've talked with him. He's, you know, found those opportunities that, you know, are trending in the franchise area. And then they can, you know, put you with the right fit, whether it be, you know, a small restaurant or a storefront, or, you know, he acquired a dumpster business, for example. So there are different ways that you can, you know, learn about that. And you can reach out to Andy at myperfectfranchise.net. It's a perfect opportunity to get with him. You can call him 404-973-9901 or go to myperfectfranchise.net. He's a great friend of the show, and he, you know, is here for you. His services are totally free. So go to myperfectfranchise.net to learn more about the franchise opportunities with Andy Ludicky, good friend of the Bengal Tiger podcast. Shay, as we get back on track with some other news out of South Florida, like our friend Wilnerson is, Jabori Antoine, the LSU commit, did stop by Miami on Monday. He was in Houston competing at the End Zone 7-on-7 tournament. He was competing with South Florida Express. Well, he took the trip back to South Florida, it seemed like, with them, and he swung by Miami. This is one of the top corners in the country. Lance Guidry's down there. You never want your commits to visit elsewhere, but I just have a hard time, you know, worrying about this one in particular.
He's a New Iberia native. Corey Raymond, the secondary coach, is a New Iberia native. He called that icing on the cake. He already was trending to LSU to commit even before Raymond was announced, and they got it done quickly. And what was really a battle with Texas, it was Miami wasn't in the picture in that final decision time. Now, yes, Georgia, A&M, Miami, all these schools have tried recruiting him. Miami gets a lot of guys to campus. I mean, between Battle Miami and just 7-on-7 guys kind of rolling around and visiting places, Miami gets tons of visitors. Does that mean it parlays into a commitment? No, I'm with you. I've got little worry here on a guy who, and I think this is important to remember, all of the none of the guys who have been offered yet have bucked in Louisiana have bucked the LSU offer and gone elsewhere. Every single one of them, minus James Simon and Corey Adams, has an offer on the D-line, but minus James Simon at running back and Corey Adams on the D-line, has committed to LSU, and Jabori's one of them. He just committed a month ago. So, no, I think he's firmly wanting to be part of what LSU's building right now with a number one class that started with heavy on in-state guys.
And sticking with the South Florida area, or at least Florida, LSU has that number one class, and with the secondary, they are going to welcome some high-end prospects from the Sunshine State this weekend, and you can find those full list of names on thebengaltiger.com. Again, subscribe for just a buck for your first month. Try it out. See what spring ball is all about. See the finish for basketball, some of baseball, but especially recruiting. But LSU is targeting the number one corner in the country, according to On3 as well. That's DJ Pickett. He's going to be back on campus. Shay, as we we'll transition into, you know, what prospects LSU can make a move for. We'll talk about that later on, but this is certainly a prospect that LSU is already in a good spot for, and he's coming back to campus for yet another look this weekend. He just scheduled an official visit. LSU, do you still think they're the team to beat? Are they the team to beat? Where do you stand with them?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think that they are one of his top teams. I think it's early for me still to call them the team to beat for a kid from Florida who's got everybody on him. And he's making lots of visits. Like, he's going all over the country with his visits. I believe he went out to Oregon. Correct me if I'm wrong. So truly a kid who's taking it coast to coast here, considering he's from Florida and visiting Oregon. But the connection with Corey Raymond, who he already knew from being recruited by him at Florida, obviously was massive here. I mean, that got him in for a January visit. Now he's quickly coming back for this visit. He's giving LSU his first official visit. So if I'm just going off those actions right there in reference to LSU, those are all good things. I mean, he, again, to visit LSU before the dead period in January and then immediately visit LSU coming out of the dead period is notable. To give LSU your very first official visit and then he scheduled out the rest was notable. I could hear the case for, yeah, being the team to beat. I feel confident, though, more confident in just saying that they are one of the top few teams, which you'll take it. A month and a half ago, you weren't. You weren't even in the picture here. So, yes, I think that even being in that top mix for a guy like DJ Pickett is huge. And that's really the case for a number of corners and a number of DBs that will be in a couple of them this weekend, but visiting over the next month, some in Texas, actually a number of them and a handful of them in Texas, but also into Florida. So Corey Raymond doing what Corey Raymond does, locking up a Louisiana guy or helping lock up a Louisiana guy like Jabari Antoine, and then putting his eyes firmly onto East Texas and Florida.
And we mentioned this earlier, but LSU is over the past few years, under a couple of years, few years, whatever it is now, under Brian Kelly, has really moved up their recruiting timeline almost, especially in regards to getting top Louisiana talent. We're seeing that in the 2025 class with their ability to get a Jabari Antoine, a Harlan Berry, a Keelan Moses, Brett Bourlon, J.D. LaFleur. I mean, the whole haul from Louisiana, Teron Francis. Devin Harper as well. Do you see LSU starting to move that timeline up a little bit more for some of those other out-of-state guys? Because while we saw some tweaks to the staff, there's also been a lot of guys on this coaching staff that have been here a minute and have been recruiting this 2025 class now for a while.
Yeah, the answer, and that's why. The answer is yes, and it's because now the staff is a couple of years in place. So Frank Wilson, just all these guys who are on staff, you know, from that time to now, Brad Davis, who was on the staff even before then, have been recruiting these guys now for multiple years. Like Harlan Berry and James Simon were day one getting recruited by Frank Wilson when he got here. So to already have Harlem on board and be kind of knocking on the door to get James Simon in isn't a surprise. So yes, the answer is clearly they are in a position to where they can start to say, hey, look, we're putting a fence around the state. We want all these guys to be tight and feel like, hey, we don't need to leave. If everyone stays home, we can compete for championships. That's what they did in the early last years when Frank was here with the fam in 2011 and all that. It was, yeah, look, Bama came in and took a guy every year or two, and it felt like it was the end of the world, but LSU always sort of maintained, and they continue to put out elite talent in Louisiana. So, yeah, I think the decision timelines have moved up there. I think an interesting thing, this isn't worth debating now because we'll see what the NCAA does with it, but they're proposing this summer signing period where it would be like summer and then like the first week of December and a traditional signing period. So essentially a third one. For me, I would think summer, that almost changes the kind of, or not changes it completely, but puts a exact date on it for the staff to say, we want all the Louisiana kids to get on board and we want them to do it before their senior year. And yes, you'll have senior year offers, but by then, by and large, you've got a very good feel for who LSU's after and who they're not. And if you could get all those guys in the board on board, sign them, and then go through your football season being able to focus on other guys and not just holding on for dear life for anybody trying to come in and poach Louisiana kids, I think would be huge. So we'll see what happens with that. But I'm curious if that ever happens, if LSU's sort of strategy, as you noted, becomes let's just get all the Louisiana guys done that we love right now, signed, and then we don't have to worry about anything moving forward.
Yeah, we've got kind of one more big topic, but just to add to that, imagine, I mean, August 1st, guys are getting ready for their own fall camps. They can make their decisions. You can have a big kickoff to their senior seasons by having those decisions made, finalized. You don't have these colleges, hopefully, kind of trying to jump the shark and fire coaches in September to get that much more of a head start on the portal or tampering or this or that. You've got all these different ways that if you take it out of the season and have really one before the season starts, and these schools are kind of starting to move towards recruiting so early now, it's almost like kind of like a baseball. It's not that early, but if you can have your class done before their seniors now, you got to be smart. You got to make sure you know that you know you feel good about certain players and you're going to take them, and you know their senior years you kind of can throw out the window from an evaluation standpoint for the colleges at least. But for LSU sitting as the flagship in Louisiana, this would help them be able to lock that state up, get those guys on board, and a lot of colleges will move to, you know, getting these guys signed as well early on, and then you hope you leave enough room for guys that rise and guys that break out as seniors like we've seen LSU do, and then you can pick them up in February. I think part of the proposal would be a dead period completely in December as well, so coaches can focus on the portal or focus on the bowl game a little bit more. But overall, I mean, I'm for having either a very early season signing day or right before their senior years begin.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think it needs to be before the senior year begins. Okay, we've called it one of the most impressive recruiting weekends. I'm coming up one of the most impressive spring recruiting weekends for LSU in recent memory. Asterisk there, as Billy noted. I've got an article coming later this week where I kind of project some guys who might commit. But let's each give a pick of, it may not be commit, but who do you think they can make some real kind of waves with this weekend? And you can make it very obvious. I think a couple of guys on this list are obvious. Like, you could pick them and it would be like, all right, I expected that, or I could have seen that. But or it can be someone out of left field and you can go first. I won't steal whoever you're going to take.
Yeah, there are guys that they're already making moves with. You look at a James Simon and Micah DeBose.
Those two is who I thought jumped to the forefront. James Simon being the four-star running back and the lone uncommitted guy on that side of the ball in Louisiana, while the rest of them are committed to LSU. And then DeBose, who has gotten some on-three RPMs. He's an offensive lineman out of Mobile, Alabama, one of the top interior linemen in the country. Auburn was thought to be trending, now LSU. So, yes, those two guys, I think most people feel like, oh, if something happened, it wouldn't shock me.
Yep. So those are two that I wanted to, you know, mention. But I'll say a guy that I feel like they can really make a move for is I've got to pick probably Dylan Battle. And I say that because he's a four-star defensive lineman out of the Dallas area, and he kind of plays his cards close to the vest. But one thing he did tell me back when he picked up the reoffer from LSU when Bo Davis got there is just that, you know, he really felt the love from him when he was at Texas, and he felt like a priority. And so if LSU does end up turning up the heat here, I think Bo Davis does have a shot to make a move here. It'll be interesting to see how this defensive line class as a whole plays out, because they've prioritized guys like Zion Williams. They've just got, you know, an official visit locked in with Wilnerson Telemake. They've got Corey Adams out there, who you've mentioned. But talking about true nose defensive tackles, you know, outside of Zion Williams, they've got Dylan Battle on the board. They've got Xavier Ukpanu. They've got Stephon Shivers, who's a new offer out of Tennessee. They're bringing in Chase Sims, another guy who's really on the rise as well right now. But Dylan Battle's a guy that, you know, Bo Davis has recruited for quite some time now. And I think him finally getting a look at LSU, that's where you could maybe make a move and kind of shift his thought on his recruitment overall.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay, I like that pick, and we got some D-line love in there. D-line's going to be such, not a mystery, but it'd be very hard for me to, and it was when I did my first mock class, to project who Bo Davis's first signing class will be, just because he's in on a number of guys. And I think it'll take us a couple of months to see who he really likes and then who's kind of really into LSU. I mentioned already linebackers, so I'm not going to go there again. You mentioned the receivers already, so I won't touch that. And nor will I say anything about the two that I think are kind of in DeBose and Simon, who wouldn't surprise me. I think they can make some real headway with DJ Pickett, the number one corner, because to get that first visit again, I think, Billy, it almost feels like, okay, you've got some momentum. Can you build more momentum right now? So he's one I'm watching. I'll go O-line, though, because I think if Micah DeBose commits and you've got three O-line commits, then you're getting real picky. And which directions are you going? And Brad Davis is an elite O-line recruiter. They have put together great classes and back-to-back-to-back years now with him, and we're seeing it. They have great elite O-line play once they get onto campus and are developed. But if he gets on board, I look at this visitor list, and another guy on it is Lamont Rogers, who has been talked about LSU, has talked about LSU forever. He's coming out of Mesquite in Texas, is a top 10 offensive tackle nationally. I look at another guy, Tyler Thomas will be in. They'll have some other linemen in. But Rogers is one who for so long we've talked about. LSU holds the on-three RPM lead. Like, does that push up his timeline? If he's a, you know, they're pushing for him to commit. If they do that this weekend, does he pop? Does he wait? Does he say I'm taking visits? And what does it ultimately mean for the O-line board? So for me, I think this weekend, that's what I'm watching. If Micah DeBose commits to LSU, what does it mean for everybody else now that there are three O-line commits? And Rogers pops right to the forefront of the conversation for me.
Yeah, I saw Lamont Rogers in the fall playing for Mesquite Horn. And he is somebody that kind of oozes that potential and the size. Kind of reminds me a little bit of our buddy Ori Williams from the 2024 class in that respect. And I think what I like about what Brad Davis is doing with the offensive line overall the most is he does a really nice job of mixing guys who are physically ready. DJ Chester kind of comes to mind. Ethan Callaway comes to mind. And then he also goes out and gets prospects like an Ori Williams, a Kyrie Lee, who probably need to get into a weight room, get into a college program, and just continue to develop physically and technique-wise. Well, Lamont Rogers is one of those guys that I think can refine his technique a little bit more, but you see what there is to like from a lot of colleges across the country with him. But, you know, Brad Davis is also recruiting a guy like Micah DeBose, who is a big, big boy, who's physically ready to go. He's probably going to be a very high floor type of prospect, which I think Brad Davis has done a nice job of, again, walking that line between guys who are developmental prospects, especially as he's, you know, built this offensive line depth and talent up, and guys who can help, you know, relatively early, maybe in their careers, just from, you know, physical standpoint, they can play right away. They can hold up. So yeah, the offensive line is now turning into one of those intriguing positions for sure.
All right. I like our picks. Okay. So if you were willing to stay till the very end, that was the end of our rundown on the kind of notes app that we do before each pod. You stuck to the end. So we give you the good news. After a little back and forth and unsure of when he would be able to come down, Bryce Underwood, five-star quarterback, now will be in town this weekend for, as Billy noted, one of the bigger spring visit weekends they've had. That means you've got not only almost all, I think every one of their commits, but all three of your five-star commitments and number one overall prospects will be in town in quarterback, running back, and receiver with Harlan Berry and DeCorian Moore. But Underwood making the trip in from Michigan, and I can confirm he also still plans to make it in for the spring game in April. So you'll get two visits in a month span, basically, Billy, from Bryce Underwood, a guy right now who remains ranked number one overall, number one quarterback, will be one of the highest ranked LSU signees of all time coming out of Michigan, and has gone on record multiple times since committing, saying that he's not playing the recruiting game. He's not making other visits right now. He's not talking to other coaches. He's firmly committed, and it looks like his actions will show it. He will now be at least tentatively down twice in the span of about a month.
And he's been busy. He was just at the Super Bowl. And look, last week we kind of checked in on this and he hadn't finalized anything. He wasn't really expected. He was kind of expected to be there for the spring game. But I think when they showed him the list and said, hey, this is kind of the weekend to maybe come down and recruit some receivers and some other guys for you, he made it happen. He's been, you know, backing up everything with these visits and his actions.
Yeah, this is big news, big news. So plenty of coverage to come. We'll do a pod to kind of recap the recruiting weekend once the dust settles. Won't be shocked at all if they get a commitment out of the weekend.
Hey, that's always good news. All the more reason why you need to stick with the Bengal Tigers. Shea Dixon, Matthew Bruni, and myself covering the Tigers. Please hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel or wherever you follow our podcast at. But more importantly, jump on thebengaltiger.com and check out the message board. Just $1 for your first month. You can join us for this big recruiting weekend, as well as the early goings of spring ball, basketball, wrapping up their regular season here. It's a great time to jump on board the site.
It's only $1. Yeah. $1. Thebengaltiger.com. Click the join. $1. You're on for a month. It carries you through spring ball.
There you go. Well, thanks for listening, everyone, and we will catch you next time with another edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast.